being rewritten to coincide with region values. And what we're doing is asking them to go back and recheck the formula on the letter of intent. Recheck the formula based on the regional boundaries as opposed to what was in the original bill.
Okay. I have one more question, Mr. Chairman. The way is this the, I guess I can look through my packet and find out, sure, the top paragraph of this letter of intent, is this our new language,
that
is this House language?
This was our original letter of intent that we came out with. The Senate Transportation Committee wanted to make sure that there were guidelines that specifically had to do with the maintenance end of it, so that there would be nobody misunderstanding what the intent was in the legislation.
I have trouble with the first sentence, and I may doodle with it here if you want. It's sort of a negative or something. When you first read it, I miss the exact point. So the second sentence and the third sentence I have no trouble with, but I don't know if the first sentence is as clear as it could be. It's written sort of in the reverse.
Okay, now of course the bottom paragraph will be moved to the top in the case of the final letter. So now we're talking about the original letter of intent, which states, it is a belief of the committee that a significant detractor from the local service roads and trails program is the lack of maintenance provided for the projects constructed on the program. Essentially, what we're talking about here is once those places are built, those roads are built, nobody seems to really care that much about the maintenance funds that are available for this type of roads. You know, in a sense, I believe we've got maybe three systems of roads, in a way. We've got primary roads, we've got secondary roads, and we've got the local service roads.
And interstate.
The interstate, I consider that a primary road there. Your point's well taken, though. But the point, I guess, we're trying to make in here, that the committee recommends the department submit operational funding each year to maintain roads or trails built under the program to minimum standards of construction. Essentially, what we're asking the department to do in this case here is we have another series of roads, in a sense, that we're looking at. We go to the department, the people that are out there on these roads, they say, well, I got potholes, the gravel's all gone off of this thing, they built the road out to my little subdivision. Now, nobody's maintaining it. Perhaps they're not, because the maintenance people do not have the M&O for it, monies for it. So what I guess we're asking here is that the Department of Transportation provide in their budgets proposals each year that they put in funding specifically for this type of road, the LSRT road. On the trails, for example, let's get to those. If you got a trail out there, the bridge is collapsing, somebody walks on it, since it is a state constructed deal and they fell in a creek out there or something, they could sue the state. I mean, if you want to look at it that way. Now, if we have some other way that we would like to do the letter of intent to do this, we're all for it. But the main thing is to make sure that we get budgeting proposals each year from the Department of Transportation to maintain adequately these roads and trails that we are doing with the capital projects money that we're doing. We're saying you're going to do it. And this is probably one of the reasons, in my opinion, that the DOT people have been kind of opposed to a lot of our LSRT monies in the past, because we don't always give them the money to maintain them.
Very possible.
299. House Bill 299, Committee Substitute Transportation, is a bill that renames A Street in Anchorage to Eisenhower Boulevard, designating the Eisenhower Corridor. I do know this. It has some negative comments on the bill. I don't know all the details on it, but Mr. Taylor, Tyler, would you care, Jones, would you care to testify on this?
And Mr. Chairman, Tyler, could you state why we've got even this bill before us, why this, the legislature is dabbling into a name change that the municipality normally would be doing and that kind of thing?
I would be happy to share the information I have, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tyler Jones. I'm the municipality of Anchorage's legislative liaison person in Juneau for this session. I've appeared previously at public hearings with respect to this piece of legislation, and I've developed in my brief tenure here some understanding of its development. Originally, the bill was intended to rename A Street and C Street Eisenhower and Wickersham. I'm not certain if I've got those in the right order, but at any rate, those two streets would be renamed. The Anchorage Assembly on October 25th, 1983, voted unanimously to recommend to the legislature that the corridor be named the Eisenhower Corridor, the thinking being that renaming of the streets was inappropriate and that we already had a Wickersham street or place or circle in a subdivision in Anchorage. I appeared before the House Transportation Committee earlier this year and communicated both the administration's position and the position of the Assembly, which in this fortunate instance is consistent. And the bill passed out of committee and, as you know, passed the House and proceeded to the Senate. It's the feeling of the municipality that the local government in question should have a key role in renaming other streets. We feel that the official assembly action supported by the administration deserves consideration, certainly. We feel that the renaming of A Street would unnecessarily confuse the alphabetical order of downtown Anchorage thoroughfares. And finally, although a zero fiscal note was attached to the bill, some probably fairly perfunctory investigation by Chip Dennerline, the municipality's commissioner of, executive manager for public services, determined that over $100,000 in costs would be borne by residents and businesses involved in reprinting of stationery and names and addresses and stuff on their various official communications. As a consequence, I'm here to again ask that the committee treat the corridor naming as a matter that's supported by the administration and by the assembly, but to refrain from renaming A Street.
I might point out that in your package today, you have a fiscal note of the actual changing, perhaps of the signs and so forth, of approximately $15,000. Well, it is $15,000. It said that was done by Mr. Snell in planning the Central Region on March 23rd, signed by Commissioner Knapp. I might also notice that in the analysis, the Department of Transportation Public Facilities analysis, there may be a question on legislative authority to rename the street. The municipality of Anchorage, MOA, prefers not to rename the street. In other words, we're getting some conflicting testimony here in the sense that Speaker Hayes has, it's his bill. I might also point out that Section 19.10.085, naming of a highway constructed by the department under last statute 19.05, may 1940 may be given a name only by law. This section does not apply to a road constructed by a municipality on a grant authorized by last statute 19.05, 1940, or to local service roads and trails. We don't have to make a law to do it. In fact, goodness, we may be violating the law if we do that. Is that the way you see it, Tyler?
Mr. Chairman, I don't claim to be a legal expert, but
Chairman, committee members, for the record, my name is Jeff Day. I'm an assistant to the Speaker. The bill before you, I think Mr. Jones outlined the history of it. It originally did deal with A and C streets. The intent being the number of people came to the Speaker at either last year or prior to that with the desire to commemorate Alaska Statehood by naming a major thoroughfare, a major attraction in Anchorage for two of the people that were instrumental in statehood. Judge Wickersham, of course, introduced the first statehood bill, and President Eisenhower was the president who signed the statehood bill into law. So that was the philosophy behind wanting to name A and C Street. As was stated in further study on the bill, we discovered we already had a Wickersham subdivision. There was confusion. After looking at that, we decided then to look at A Street, which has fewer businesses on it than C Street, and still pursue with the hopes of naming it Eisenhower, noting that Judge Wickersham had already been commemorated in a different way. As far as the statutes in Title 19 go, this particular road is in the process of being funded for the AC couplet and will be upgraded with state money. It will become part of the state road system, and it was our belief, at least in doing the research on it, that it is within the legislature's purview to name this particular road, unlike naming a road in a subdivision or something to that effect. So our original intent has changed from the original concept. The Speaker is still interested in pursuing the renaming of A Street at this time. And our belief is that the money that would be involved in changing the signs could be incorporated as part of the appropriation, which is already in the process of being given to the municipality, or to DOT, actually.
Questions from the committee? Senator Page?
I still don't know why we're into this. When the municipality, when the assembly says no, P&Z says no, why are you fighting this? I mean, who are we? I mean, if we're going to commemorate somebody that allowed statehood to go, we should commemorate the rules chairman who kept the bill in committee for 4 years or something, and Johnson finally... then Speaker, Majority Leader Johnson finally got the rules chairman to let the bill out for a vote. Jeff, I still don't know what's happening.
You want to name this Johnson moment?
No, I'm saying his explanation of why this is in front of us has not convinced me that we need to go against the municipality, the assembly, and the P&Z. I don't like doing that. And he hasn't told me the real reason yet.
Rather than say that we're fighting for it, it's before the committee because he was interested in seeing it brought up. There are certainly, on our list of priorities, it's probably not right at the top of those things that we're interested in, but it's something he wanted the consideration on for the reasons it was presented.
Any other comments?
I'm not getting in it. I'm going to, if it comes up, I'm going to put it on a wreck.
We'll leave it up to the committee whether or not we move it today, otherwise we'll consider it at a later date.
The last thing I would just say is the naming of the corridor can be done by the municipality and does not require any state action. If you're going to name the road, then it is within the state's prerogative to name a state road.
Maybe. I mean, there is a debate as to whether this is legally a state road or not. I mean, from our own lovely Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, they're saying that we might have a problem down here.
Chairman.
Second,
who's going to maintain AC couplet?
That's an interesting question.
Who will maintain AC couplet when it's finished?
Is that question just to you?
Anybody.
I don't care. I think it's a good question.
We'll
get somebody to answer.
I'd be happy to take a stab at responding to it, Mr. Chairman. A Street and C Streets are on the state grid already, and they're part of the ongoing negotiations for municipal maintenance of state thoroughfares.
They are already on the state grid. The state has responsibility for maintaining A Street right now?
That's my understanding.
Then we can name it.
We can name it part of the factor right here. That's my belief, too. So I'll leave that up to committee. I don't intend to make the motion myself as chairman.
If I may add one further comment for having been replaced in the witness seat, the Municipal Assembly did name
real heartburn on this thing or not? Are we paying a political debt or what?
No, it was a longtime Alaskan who came to Joe, and evidently there's several of them. I don't know exactly how many are involved, but asked Joe to introduce it, to seek this sort of a change, and Joe did it at his request on his behalf to please a constituent request, and he felt it made sense at the time.
Okay, but yet I hear from the city, though, that they're not in favor of it, that they would rather make the decision themselves. I guess probably as a compromise, perhaps, I might suggest that if the bill is amended to name it Eisenhower Boulevard, if the MOA approves it, we could do something like that. Because apparently MOA does not have, they got a little heartburn over doing this thing. They also note that they would like to have the approval of it if they're going to do it. Well, it seems to me that perhaps we could amend the bill in such a manner that if they wanted to name it that way, it's up to them. Does that make sense? I don't know whether that's like Solomon cutting a baby in half or what.
Mr. Chairman, I will move that we hold the bill for 1 week and let staff look at a possible CS that would work out a compromise in allocating this AC couplet as the Eisenhower Corridor with the approval of the municipality.
That perhaps will get us some sort of a guess. You might
going to adjourn before next Tuesday.
You might kind of work with our staff here to maybe come up with some sort of a deal that will help us take care of this. Appreciate it, didn't you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now, we have two gentlemen with us again today, Jim Merrill. I can't see who's behind back over there. Anyway, we've got the rest of our crew back in here to do our thing on the CPS, the capital project cleanup. That was another reason I kind of want to start it early today so we could get as much on record as possible on some of the things. We missed part of their presentation last time. So I will turn this presentation over to, who shall I do, Jim? You? Okay, if we'll start out here and identify ourselves as the approach for the record itself, then we'll start all over again and try to get this thing set up.
If you can have a few minutes, Mr. Chairman, to set up
the... All right, the committee will be at ease for about 5 minutes while you get set up. Senate Transportation Committee is back in order again. We will continue to take up the capital project cleanup. And for the record, as we start talking, we will make identification.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Robert Martin, Jr. I'm here today with Jim Merrill. We're both from the Department of Transportation to complete our discussion previous on the DOT's capital project cleanup effort. As I recall, we were somewhat at the end of a question and answer period at the beginning of our presentation, which was primarily to outline to the committee those problems that we had found within the capital project system. And at that point, we were ready to go into Mr. Merrill's portion of the presentation, which would be to outline those steps we are now ready to take with the commissioner's approval to begin our final effort at cleaning up the data. If there are no further questions, we could move right on into Mr. Merrill's presentation.
Appreciate it very much, and I want to tell you how much we appreciate your time, too, because I think it's rather important to hear all the information that you're passing on to us.
Mr. Chairman, I want to know when they're going to tackle the ferry system.
Well, I suspect maybe it'll show up here.
The ferry system is included in our problem. My name is Jim Merrill, and I'm a professional engineer in the Department of Transportation. I have a copy of a letter that the commissioner sent out on the 11th of May to all the deputy commissioners concerning his priority of what we are doing and his commitment. And I would like for the committee to recognize about the third paragraph down where he stated, "You already know that I have made this a top priority issue, and this effort will require major manpower commitments from each of you." That is his commitment to us, and for commitment to you, that he wants you to understand that this is a top priority issue. We as a committee have asked for 280 man days between now and the 18th of June to complete as much as we can of the cleanup before the end of the fiscal year so that the records at the end of the fiscal year will be as clean as possible. So with this letter, he is making these resources available and making a commitment. It is a top issue, and he's very much behind it and appreciates the committee's interest and help in this effort.
In other words, Jim, you're going to take this to the other areas of the, that'll be the southeast region, you'll have it here, central region, we'll have it May 17th, and where will that be at, here or in Anchorage?
Okay, on Thursday of this week, we are in Anchorage to organize our forces there and give them their tasks and when they have to have it done, and then we're going Friday to Fairbanks to organize the people there that we've been submitted to us, and then next Monday, all of the people in Southeast that are involved in this will get together, and so by next Tuesday, everybody ought to be working very, very heavily on this to meet our deadline of June 18th, of having the data all back in and as clean as possible for the year-end rollover of the PBA.
I'm real pleased to see that last paragraph down there where it says, desire and enthusiasm to correct these problems already exist at the troop level. I'm real happy to see that.
Question.
Senator Gilman.
On the timeline, Mikey, a little pink. It says 6, 7, 8. What does that mean?
6 and 8 are statewide regions that were set up to handle the project. Region 7 is Marine Highway System.
There's for your Marine Highway.
That's where we were getting, okay.
Marine Highway, by the way, is not the major contributor to our, as far as volume of work. As if you've seen in the report that the central region in Anchorage is overshadows all the other regions, some basically 51 to 55% of the effort is centered in that area. And we come down to the region 6, 7, and 8 down there, very small. Some of them only have 8 or 10 items that we have to work on. Marine Highway, I think, probably has close to 100 of that device.
What you're saying, then, is a major project that you have problems that you've got to correct is in the central district.
Yes. If you notice in the report, yeah, I think you have copies of their one page, and specifically on projects that are beyond their budget.
Yeah, page 17.
Page 17. You will see that the central region there has a tremendous amount above everybody else. It was on page 11 is the chart.
Okay, perhaps I better not interject too many things in here now to get through your presentation here. You can go through it. I'll ask some more questions.
But unless I would, it's either way, Mr. Chairman. If you want questions answered any time, don't hesitate. But you can see, basically, on page 11 there, this is just one item, but about the same workload in all the tasks that were, is about that way. The central region does have the bulk of the operations that we have to go to. We talked about our efforts, and you were aware that we had 11,300 projects in our system, and we now have them narrowed down. We talked about that, and you can see that we have down to about 1,360, that's now, that we consider to be active. But we have come down almost 10,000 that were in the system.
That's as of December of 83, though. How do we stand now? We're almost 6 months into 84.
Well, what's happened is that we have closed these down. They are no longer there, available to be charged against. What that has done is it raised the errors on the error risk because there are transactions still trying to be processed, but that does allow us to service it back and check it out.
This in other words, what you're saying, Jim, that until you close that complete, closed, unclassified section down, they could charge against those.
They could charge against them.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. They could charge, and the bill would be paid out of PBA, the state accounting system. Well, what happened is that when it tried to process through the department's accounting records, it would go to the error register and may stay there and revolve forever. I pointed in the report that there's some $39 million that I've been able to identify so far that has been paid by the state, but revolves in various holding and clearing accounts, unable to be charged back to the project.
Okay, now that's funny money we're talking about that's due us from federal government.
Some of it could be. You see, the state pays it and has no identification of funny money or another. It's all paid originally out of the general fund. And then when we try to put it against a project specific, is when we find out whether it's federal or...
Now, all this has come up while you've been doing these research deals into this.
One of the interesting things that you might be interested about is that there is a project that was in Juneau that has received a lot of publicity and hearings in the other body. That is a microcosm of things we're finding throughout most of our projects. And that's the governor's mansion, if you're well aware of what I'm talking about. That project, out of having an extreme tight time schedule, basically would handle like hundreds of others in the department. Many, many funding sources.
While you're right there at that, I hate to get into this.
But it's me too.
I got to get into it. The opportunity.
The devil's making you do it.
This brought me into it, Miss Myrtle. I'm getting formal with you now. The November maintenance and operations cost on the mansion itself, I noticed in November, probably quadrupled to what it normally is over the previous month. Why? Does that show up in some of these status deals that you're coming up with here?
Okay.
You brought it up.
I didn't want to talk about that side. but I will. Those are in the operating budget side, not the capital side. The maintenance operation rolls into the operating budget
side. Okay, but my point is, why did the operating budget increase to 60 some odd, maybe 70,000 bucks, whereas normally it's down there around 11,000-12,000 all of a sudden? Does it mean that the capital project was not completed in the mansion and they were using operating personnel to finish out capital project?
Well, I'm sure that there are operating personnel involved in that. You don't have, you know, every dollar expended shows an activity which involves DOT personnel. In this case, Department 25, M&O involves our own employees. They were involved in that as far as I can understand.
Okay, it's a possibility. All
right. Now, just to show you one of the problems and why I led into that, probably one of the major efforts. This is the Governor Mansion project, and it was funded, this one, and there was some others that had several projects involved. This is just one project number. It was funded in three different areas. Within our system is the ability, for instance, to go ahead and spend more than set up in the funding. As you see that we overspent that one code, $624,000.
Right, now what is that particular code? Is that for the whole project or a specific part of it?
This was a funding source that came from the Fire Life Safety, that statewide account.
Energy with furniture or floors fixed up or anything?
There is nothing in our system that would prevent those funds to be expended for furniture.
Okay, that's my point. Well, the cleanup project, capital project cleanup, will that help us correct such things as that? Because I see where you're coming from now. That is a good example of how we may be getting into other things in DOT.
Our new system we're bringing online October 1, our effort of cleanup will not prevent that, because that is a management discipline that is not locked into our computer systems. And that's basically where we've gotten over the years, that we've lacked, in my own opinion, a management discipline to prevent these things from happening. But you see that we did overspend that one code, $624,000. Now, that came about because in the system is a little star, and that's a manual. If I want to change that from here, I have to make a paper form out and put it down here. And that, nobody was paying any attention. And so what happens is they spent $624,000 more than that one funding source had. The real problem comes within that same code. There are 25 other active projects who think they have $734,000
don't think they got the same thing as the guy that's got the sprinkler up here that's all mixed in there.
That's right.
In other words, they're all looking at the same figure, roughly 734,000. But between all of them together, not the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing, they have overspent.
One of the reasons that the state accounting system looks at this code here, 2480-636, as one project. This thing, that code has had about 30 or 35 projects in it. There are still 25 active. So a dollar spent on any of that, it will accept. So the county system looks at it as one project. Our system looks at individual projects with the ability to overspend. And that is a something we have corrected in our new system coming online October 1.
Okay. What you're saying then is, under your new system, you won't have that same... No, you won't be $624,000 out into the red with the new system that you got cooking.
That's right.
Wait a minute. I thought you just got to answering that question. The question was asked, will the new system correct this problem? You said no.
The new system will not correct the problem of buying furniture out of highway money.
But they'll know how much they spent.
But the
people know how much they spent.
They know how much they spent. That's a management discipline that has to say, we will not spend highway money for furniture. That's a discipline that has to be instilled in the department. It's not a something in the computer system.
What? See, but it will correct.
Hmm?
It will correct the overspending of the fund.
That's right. Because when we get to zero balance out here, there won't be any more checks cut.
So you can't check, you can't charge anything to an account.
Okay. See if I can understand what you have up there. H79164 was the mansion.
Right. One of the projects. Okay.
2480-86636 was a fund source, which was a $5 million appropriation. That was for life safety, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody allocated $1,385,000 out of 636 and said that's how much we're going to spend on the mansion. But it actually spent $1,964,000 plus $45,000, $2 million. The new system will correct it.
That's right.
Regardless of whether you've got the same number, 636, will it correct it all over administration when the check is written?
Yes, and I'll tell you how that happens. Right now, the bill goes to the state first. They pay the bill, then they come to us and said, find out which project it goes to.
Yeah.
Starting October 1, the bill comes to the department. We run it against our own checks, our own check system, and it'll never be processed for a payment unless it meets our funding. It can't go below zero. So this is going to be
a long time.
Yeah, we're going to have vendors.
Okay,
that,
now
that's
this now
right.
This, no. Now we got a bill in the mill now that says you got to pay that bill within so many days or whatever. What will this do to it?
There is a law that was put 2 years ago that said that anything over 30 days we had to pay, I think it was 10% interest.
Certain interest. But now there's another bill, and this is why I'm going to ask you this question, that the governor recently vetoed that would have kept us out of trouble on the vendors and stuff, I think.
There is a potential for that. But the problem comes, in the new system, we're only going to move forward projects that have the funding straight and the controls in straight. And most of them right now, most of the projects, especially the federal aid, we would not pay a bill on after October 1. That's why we're working so hard to get it straightened up. All contractors that wouldn't be paid if the data that we now have in were moved ahead.
Okay, now, along with this right here, how far back do we go to bring this system up to date?
Well, one of the problems we have is, as you know, that when the department was formed, they collapsed BRUs, appropriations, into a bucket. And so we have lost track of how much is expended out of one to the other. So what we have promised that we would do is that all the projects that we move forward that are active, we will be legal and law-abiding and with the funding straight. If it occurred way back, we do not have the resources to straighten that out. It's going to have to be as spent. That's kind of the way it is.
Okay, well, what kind of data are we looking at? Are we looking at 1980, 1982, 1983, or July 1st, 1984?
We have set a date that, starting with the session laws of 80, that we will be pure appropriation-wise with those projects. Prior to that, we have really no way to straighten it out.
Right. Now, would that include supplemental? Is that from January 1 or July 1? Because you may have some supplementals in the 1980 session law.
He said session law.
Session law. We're starting with what was defined in the session law. We will be
all right,
sure.
We're clean from January 1. We will be clean January 1, 1980 on.
Whatever the session law, the effective date is.
That point. In some cases, FY81, sometimes it starts off at the effective date of the
now, we have a few projects that are sitting back in, say, the 76 bond issues. I think there's three or four of them still active. We may have some trouble getting those clean for you. But we drew the line there because there was a major audit by internal legislative audit that was in 79 that said that they give up. They couldn't trace it. And so we're kind of hanging on that date. That everybody was put on record at that date that we had major problems. And so we feel that we're responsible back to that point.
That sounds better. I didn't think you were going to be able to go that far back, really.
Well, if we can get, in my own field, 95%, that is a major accomplishment. And we will move ahead projects that are funding is straight on. There may be some projects we have to shut down quickly because we have spent the funny money. And we've identified some of those already.
Now, last night I had a teleconference on a total cutoff. This might be the time to ask a question. One of the questions that was asked by one of my constituents out there was that they understood that the rebuilding of that the specific section of the road has now been dropped or set off one side, and they're only going to resurface. We have some problems with federal money in that particular project there. Maybe I'm asking you too much of a detail there.
I do not have that information. I do know this, going back to this example, that the projects that were dropped when this was reprogrammed from this funding source probably won't be done.
Okay.
And you're going to find that in many appropriations, that these projects just will not be done. Our part of our job is to resurface which projects that you authorized that we can't do.
Okay, well, you're kind of coming down the line that I was looking at. In other words, what we're saying, because some of that money that's right there that ended up out here, the sewer money and a few other things, I don't know, that came from some of the other, but there will be no action on DOT's part to initiate these programs on which money was taken out to pay this off, unless we put more money in, is what you're saying.
Yes. What we will do is surface back to the legislature that these projects in this appropriation will not be done under the present funding and ask, are they still a good project for you? If they are, more authorization.
When will we have that available?
It'll be available for the next session.
As a result of this program?
You will have a many page list, by the way, of that. We've got a lot of them now.
Chairman, there is some danger, as you pointed out, that contractors may not get paid as a result of hardwiring in the programming for the new system, that we wouldn't pay unless funds were in that particular code. But there is some good news with that. That is that the new system will have overnight turnaround, whereas our present FMS system has a once-a-month turnaround. In many cases, it may be several months before the problem is apparent within the data that we have available to us, simply because the computer only operates once a month. Our new system operates every day.
It's interesting we could be broke 30 times a month now instead of once.
Well, it's kind of like running out of gas. At least you'll know that your gas gauge and your tank read the same. So you at least got a warning. It ain't going to give you any more gas,
the most common problem that we have found. And if this problem is not corrected before the state accounting system rolls and balances forward at the end of the fiscal year, some of those problems will stay in there forever. In other words, we will end up with a COLA code with a balance remaining on a line item that we can't transfer anywhere else. Meanwhile, the other COLA code having expended $600,000 of someone else's money, they're going to have to come back to you for a supplemental. Simply because we didn't catch it in time before PBA rolled over.
Well, speaking of supplementals, do you have any idea what this task is going to cost you? Do you have sufficient funding into your budget applications?
Depends on how many closes.
Operating budget cost.
Well, we have sufficient funds to operate through June 30th in this task.
Well, is the continuation of this program scheduled after June the 30th is my point, because I'd hate to see you just carry it up to the point where by the time we leave here, you quit.
I have no doubt that the commissioner, with his commitment, and I understand there's some organizational formalities, to put this in the organization charts as a group that reports directly to him on a continuing operational basis after we clean it up.
That, in a sense, this is his commitment right here in this memorandum.
Yes,
that we're talking.
And it's the most strong commitment that I've seen of any commissioner. And pass on, he is serious about it. Some of the things that we're going to do quickly here, and I don't want to tie you up without stopping the question, is if we have to go back and check our project masters and make sure the data is right in it. So far, we've found that about our data banks are about 5% correct.
Holy cow.
So we have forms, three big boxes of computer forms going out to Central Region on Thursday to where they have to go back to their documents, the federal documents and the legislation, and record, because they just don't match what's in our computer.
What you're saying then is 95% of your records is inaccurate, or you don't know for sure, and only 5% you can guarantee?
The ones that we have checked, we found that one out of 20 projects, the data that we were looking at was clean. The rest of them, one or two of them, or more parts, had errors in them. And so we're going back to the source documents, correct that, then put it in our system. So when we move into the new system October 1, it'll be clean. So that is a major effort. It's a major manpower effort, and it's all hand.
What he just told you, Mr. Chairman, is a little different than stating that 95% of all of the data is wrong.
This is what you checked.
Right.
Well, I would be...
We just know 1 in 20 is perfect.
Every project has maybe... 100 items of data, and if one of those is wrong, it goes as part of the 19 out of every 20 projects.
But they fit together before you can pay a bill.
That's right.
Before we can know where we are. I'm saying that we only have 1 in 20 that's clean.
Well, what it boils down to is the sample check you made indicate that you do have a 95 and a 5 situation.
As for an example, going to the funny money problem, that we have gone into the non-participating expenditures. And we have computer selected and say, okay, how much money was set up for it? And this is all general fund. How much money was set up? How much have we spent it against that? And we find that we have overexpended, according to the records, $114 million. But we know that's wrong, because we know that different modes and different regions have inputted this information in our system differently. They've put all the expenditures in non-participating, all the funding in the participating.
I thought so.
They don't match. So we are we're trying to bring that together. And when we do that, we're going to be able to determine if, in fact, we really have overspent the general fund portion. So that's a major problem there, is our correct our project master data file. On page 11 of our report, we showed some $17 million that the projects were overspent the project budget. And so what we are doing in that task is going out individually to the project and making those projects either additional funding, or if there's wrong expenditures, we're bringing up the balance to zero so we don't have unreported expenditure.
That's another major effort. One that we also think that is worthwhile, and we're starting on Thursday, we have 552 projects that are sitting there that the work's all done on, but they won't close them. We can't close them, or we lack in a piece of paper. So we're making a concerted effort to close these projects and lapse back to the Treasury any balances left there. Our fifth effort is to correct our errors. And we find, for instance, that about 30% of our errors are caused by a human failure to insert the correct cutoff date in our system. And that is something that has to be put into my hand, and so if it goes past that date, then all the expenditures go to the error registry. And then we have a fifth item, which we call the over-programming and the 600 Club. The over-programming, we have about $5 million of what we call negative funding, because we in fact have over-programmed the funding source. And to bring it back in balance, they put a plug-in that was a negative, which brought the total back to zero. And so we're now going back individually to those projects and make them cut back down to where they know how much money they really have. So that's our effort now, and we're supposed to complete by the 18th of June.
By the 18th of June,
280 man days of work to do this, and it'll all be back into our system for key punching by the 18th of June in preparation for the closing of the fiscal year. We feel that we'll be in a lot better shape in balancing and in reconciliation with the state accounting system at that time.
Question. Okay, so you go through this exercise and you find, as indicated in here, potentially at least $14-15 million of money that's been spent on a particular project, not a particular project, but a combination of projects, overspent, and then there's $9 million that's still on the books. There really isn't anything administratively to do with that until legislature has acted.
We intend to bring back to the legislature a request for an ad delete to kind of even it out. Overall, we might be pretty close. If you just dump it all in a bucket, we might be pretty close to covering it. But it's in the wrong appropriation. So we intend to bring that back to the legislature and say, delete this and add here.
My point is that there is no administrative authority to change from
one
appropriation to the other, or even though it may even be in the same session, unless they're written like, use the example, Central Region Ordinance Departments, or something like that, where there were three or four or five projects going on at the same time, and they could be balanced, they could be moved internally.
We will not cross appropriation lines. Where we have appropriations with allocations to a number of projects, by RFP we can move, add and delete within the administration that way. But we will not cross the appropriation line, and do be prepared for next session a long list of that add delete.
Okay, what happens now? Are we going to potentially compound that with a reappropriation bill that we have laid Senate Finance at this point? Rather large reappropriation bill, is there a danger that we're going to compound the problems that you have? In other words, you've got it right now, you've got it all the way down, you know, what's in what category, what appropriation, and so on. Legislature comes along and passes a bill the last 30 seconds of the session and reappropriates $30 million, and they're going to have to start over?
No problem, as long as you adjourn by, say, the 1st of June to give me 30 days to...
Don't count on it.
to give us 30 days to crank that back in. I don't think that bill was that big a volume that will affect the volume.
The reason I say that, I just went back to the Senate Finance Committee, and generally when that happens, it grows.
The number of details on those reappropriation bills aren't so large compared to the rest of the details there.
So,
we have computer printouts just for Central Region, in fact, this high on details, and your bill is only a few pages compared to what we have.
We've set up to anticipate that, and as long as we have time to in June to do that, we can simulate that tonight, probably. Any other questions?
And on page 11 in our CPC, I had a question there that perhaps you've explained this already, the $17 million, but this is expenditures in excess of budgets, an amount out of agreement. The Central Region has got a $12,988,908, or roughly $13 million amount out of agreement. And all the rest of the deals except the Southeast there is less than $1 million, the other districts. Why is that?
Well, traditionally...
Is it an amplification of these problems that we're talking about specifically in the Central Region, or what?
Central Region, of course, has the biggest workload in the department, and we would expect this. We find them running quite heavily. It could reflect some past lack of management discipline in the area. One of the things on the northern region there that your good friend, Deputy Commissioner Glenzer, who has taken a very personal interest in this effort, has jumped the gun on us.
And he's changing some of
it. He's getting ahead of us in doing the work that we're doing now on a statewide basis.
Well, I'm looking at the number that are out of whatever. The Central has 184, Northern has 141, but the value of those there's only a difference of about 40 projects, and yet there's a difference of $12 million, better than $12 million.
Okay, what it is, the difference between the Central and Northern Region is the Northern has been working them, and they have funded those projects as far as they could. And so you have a small dollar amount left in a large number of projects, where in Central Region they have some very large dollar amounts.
It could be in direct proportion to number of legislators in the area, too, Senator.
It could have.
Now, I want to assure the committee that when we say that these are an excessive budget, these are an excessive project budget. There's nowhere at all have we ever overexpended the total authorized amount, because that's when the state accounting system was writing checks.
Well, we just did that in a mansion now.
No. There's still money there.
Well, I don't remember us authorizing over $5 million for the mansion then, if that's what you're talking about.
It would spend over $5 million.
I know. The only thing I remember is about $500,000 that we thought we were going to get on that.
We do just...
Well, I don't want to get into that. That's
that's not his fault.
That's not your fault.
That is not his
fault. I know you're trying to clean it up, and I appreciate that very much.
Any other questions?
Any other comments? Bob, you have any credit?
No, sir, that's it.
It'll be interesting to see what comes out the other end next session.
Now, we're going to continue this on, and I hope that you will keep us up to date on what transpires the committee itself. Make sure that we're aware of what's happening. Because I'd like to see us continue on during the interim here, working with you on it, and to be prepared for the next session of the legislature.
We may be, Mr. Chairman, requesting some legislation for next year.
Okay, then to help you in this now, I just want to make sure that we've got funding for this in the FY85 operating budget. Does it show in anywhere?
We do know that at least one of the positions is unfunded, in, or at least it was submitted that way, unfunded in the 85 budget. I am not, we know we have funding through June 30th, December. And knowing the commissioner's commitment to it, I am sure that it will continue.
Well, I'm most appreciative that we've got the memorandum from the commissioner here, and I hope that we'll be able to follow up on it. I want to express my appreciation to the team for being here. Looking forward to continuing to work with you and as the committee here. further questions, any further comments, then the
Chairman,
Senator
Gilmore. Just one further comment. You know, we are somewhere getting close to the end of this session, and very often, as we move from one legislature to another, a lot of these things are lost as we go into a different committee structure and so on. And I would hope that you, as chairman of this committee, would take every effort that you can when the gavel is turned over to someone else to be chairman of the committee, whoever that might be, unless it's yourself again, to really bring that committee chairman up to snuff in terms of what the importance of this thing is, because if we lose, you know, we can have all the best intentions in the world right now, but by September or October or November or January of next year, he's not liable not to be here, he's liable not to be here. People change, what I'm saying. You're liable not to be here, I'm liable not to be here. There should be some institutional memory building on this one, because it has to be done. It is absolutely snags all of the capital project programs out there throughout the whole state.
Well, it's I'm glad to hear you say that, because we are proposing that we continue to work as a committee during this interim to some degree to try to create the information that you're referring to, to pass it on into the next legislature. It is extremely important. I think that we've finally gotten into a method of doing these things that we should have been doing a long time ago. I'm not throwing just rocks at the DOT and the things that we've said. I think perhaps we should throw some rocks at ourselves by not following through on a number of things. And I think the legislature in itself, as you say, should carry on irregardless of who got the gavel in their hand. Perhaps this committee here can make sure that the next